A Tricky Kid Media original presentation distributed by iHeartRadio. Welcome to Tricky Kid Radio, where the past and the future meet the present for a fun mix of yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Hosted by filmmaker and DJ Roy Turn.
Welcome to today's edition of What to Watch, What to Read. I'm your host, as always, DJ Tricky Kid, aka Roy Turner. You may have seen Secret Mall Apartment on Netflix airing now. We're talking today with Michael Townsend, the lead wizard pioneering of tape art. Michael, welcome.
Oh, thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
You were sitting on this mountain of source material. Wait a minute, should we do something with this?
Documentation we're talking about is shot between 2003 and 2007. My arrest happens a couple months after the first iPhone came out. So that gives you a sense of where we are in the technological timeline. When we were creating the Secret Mall Apartment, never meant to be shared with anybody. Never a moment like, this is going to be really awesome when we edit this. We held it on hard drives. I'll show you my hard drive file. 52 terabytes of just the living and dead hard drives. As artists, we create things that go up and they come down. The only thing we've got left is the photographs and videos. So we're very much in the habit of documenting process. A couple of years ago, the director, Jeremy Workman, was given access to those guys. We had turned down dozens of directors. We had been offered the moon and the sky for this documentation to make something. Right after my arrest, when there was peak interest, we made the decisions after it became international news to say no to everybody. We had no plan to make a movie.
Were you turning down real money with these offers?
Yes, tons of money.
You rejected capitalism for the sake of your art and found a way to stay afloat.
Jeremy was an accident. We met him in Athens, Greece. I was doing a tape art project there on a glass building. And inside the room was one of the world's most famous YouTube stars, Lily. She does domino toppling. Following her with the camera is Jeremy Workman. We got to watch this guy do his job with the subject. And that's built trust. I told him about the Secret Mall Apartment. And he thought I was lying at the time. Went home and Googled it and saw the whole ecosystem of information about it. It just continues to bump around Reddit every 4 or 5 years. YouTube picked it up many years, like 10 plus years afterwards, YouTube people started making videos about it that would get the 10 million views. We would get calls from journalists being like, I just heard about this thing. Like, Jeremy got a real interest in trying to make movies about artists to give insight into what drives them. He's looked at the Secret Mall Apartment footage and was like, wait, there's more to this story. Adult artists lose homes, the cultural shifts in our city and gentrification. So he weaves together all the narratives, creating a psychological profile of what was pushing us along. I think why there was such interest. Also, there was about to be a writer's strike in Hollywood. The morning after my arrest, I went before a judge. And I realized this is a police blotter. It's going to become a narrative. And our job now as artists is to control the story. I stood outside the Providence Journal and waited for a journalist. And I said, here is the deal. You're going to report on some funky little story. And immediately, don't do it. Spend the next 3 days with me. And let's craft what the story is. They did a Monday AP story, crafted well enough. That spread the wildfire.
Okay.
Every place is interested through their perspective, what malls mean in their culture. They helped set the stage for it to become a narrative that people could claim as their own. This idea you could manufacture or craft these like mini utopias.
All over the country, there's these collectives of people into music and art, and they stick together their own agenda of freedom. I'm part of that same thing. I think you're a likable guy, and people can relate to you. I like what somebody said in the film about how you're the kind of guy that just inspires everybody. There's always that one that gets everybody else going. And I used to think in my little group, that was me, until I saw you, and I was like, okay, I'm not the smartest guy in the room today.
Collectives are a crapshoot. What person show up at what time, and one person out, three people in changes it. I was very fortunate at the collective that exported some real bangers. A remarkable group of artists who are still in the arts. There's footage of Brian Chippendale in a bit of his origin story. Jim Drain shows up on camera. These artists were in the same space at the same time. Is a testimony to how critical these spaces are In every city in America,
yeah.
There are big industrial spaces that are useless in regards to industrial use, but they are perfect for artists.
I lived in New York City from 06 to 2013. Around 2008, I met this gal out in Long Island City, and they had taken over a five-story building in disrepair, but it still worked. And
right.
Every floor was filled with these great artists, and it was actually protected by the city. They weren't squatting. They were legally allowed to be there. City said, either you do something with this space, or we're going to give it to the artist. Are there laws like that in Providence then or now?
Providence does not have a robust system for identifying and creating artist workspaces. And at the end of the day, it's all technicalities because they aren't regulated for living. In
right.
order to get them up to code would take so much money. At that point, they're unaffordable. I have had a front row seat to it for the last several decades.
Have you heard from anybody that inspired you?
Not specifically Jesse Eisenberg, a producer on the film, is a big fan. He did a brief stint here in Providence where he lived in a building across the street from the mall. And he was sent the film and was able to connect with it immediately.
Moving on, I do want to talk about the tape art. You push back on the system, but you use your intelligence and skill set making children happy with your art.
Forms of protest come in all shades, and we need everything. We need people to throw the Molotov cocktails. I'm the person who will weasel my way into the city hall meetings or the behind the door meetings with developers to try to affect change in my neighborhood and save historic mill buildings from demolition. Drastically boring, but that's the hard work. I'm just part of a system of people using tools they have to call attention to the matter. One of the things I love about Providence as an individual, this city is just the right size. You can affect change. I have a deep-seated sense I have some power.
Power increased since the film?
The soft power is tape art stuff, because that's right. A way of saying this building is canvas. Even though they're temporary, it's a way of expressing a stewardship over the built environment. I have no interest in owning the building or changing it permanently. I just want to enact some sort of beautification or messaging.
These people now know you as somebody doing stuff for children's hospitals.
Yeah.
So are you sure you don't have a little more power?
I don't know.
Are
I
you
know.
Recognizable?
We'll find out over time. People are sharing a movie that has positive messaging in it. The Hollywood Reporter. Numbers in February 2026, this movie on all platforms versus all movies came in at number 6 to the tune of 548 years of watching.
Yeah, I'll make a stretch of a connection here. Famously, the Rhode Island School of Art is where the members of the Talking Heads met. Lee Savefave, one of my favorite groups from Brooklyn.
Yep.
David Byrne said they made the movie stop making sense because it would tour for them. So this film is touring for you.
That's a good connection. My collaborators and I figured out how many students worked with. And a couple of years ago, that number passed 60,000 students. And I share that number just to give you a sense that I'm really dedicated to get people excited about making art or thinking about it. As an art educator, my life is split in half between big artworks and art education. But as an art educator, this movie is going to do a lot of the heavy lifting for me in regards to sharing ideas about art that I think are really powerful, infecting a lot of people, and I don't have to be standing in front of them saying the words aloud.
When you go on Instagram and you see feeds where it's young people breaking into dead malls, people need to really understand what it took for you guys, just the balls to do this, let alone the smarts to pull it off.
We had the advantages of no timeline. We've been doing our September 11th Manhattan for 2 years leading up to the secret mall apartment. Can we draw on this wall in broad daylight and get away with it? All this ends up being is push-ups for the secret mall apartment. So by the time we're doing that, we are like primed. We are hyper aware of when things might go south and when to walk. That allowed this project to go off without a hitch.
Tape art, where can they find you online?
Yeah, the grand presentation of our work is at tapeart.com. If you click on the murals tab, you're going to see 36 years of tape art, one mural at a time. Where we are active now is on Instagram at Tape Art. We ignored social media up until last year. We're experimenting with it, and please follow us. It genuinely makes a difference. Like, the algorithm makes a difference for us getting employed in the future.
I'm sure you guys probably have a mountain of footage we have not yet seen.
Jeremy did present the best of the best. The, I think, an extra half hour of footage that we identified as stuff that we would have liked to share also.
If you want to see the film, Secret Mall Apartment, it's still on Netflix.
Yes.
Get involved with Tape Art. What is the next big thing for you? I know you got something cooking.
We do. The next big thing is next week, we're going to Brattleboro, Vermont. We're going to be at their art museum for 9 days, running a interactive sculpture installation called Tape Art Megacorp. When you come into the space, you have to make your own tie. You sit for the introductory video, and then we put you to work. So you become an employee of Tape Art Megacorp for as long as you're there.
That's so awesome. I want to thank Michael Townsend. Your ambition is just infectious, my friend, and you're still doing it. I hope the next time we talk, it'll be in person.
I would love that.
Cheers, and good luck in Vermont. All right, what a great episode. I'm going to leave you with something special, a track that I just recently got turned on to from a group called Daydream. They're based in the UK. And that's spelled DayyDream. You can find them on Bandcamp at DayyDream.bandcamp.com. I'm going to play a track for you called Proximity. I just really love this track. And I got to be honest, also, at the same time, it hits close to home. Shout out to Chloe Kaufman over there in the UK, where she's the daughter of one of my oldest friends. And I hadn't seen her since she was very young. And Pete told me that she's over in the UK, kicking much ass. And he wasn't kidding. So, as this track will prove. So, check it out, and we will see you next week.
This has been a presentation of Tricky Kid Media Originals, distributed by iHeartRadio, created and directed by Roy Turner, edited and mastered by Marcus Miller, artwork by Antora Sandy. Marketing and PR by Francesca Miles. Tricky Kid Radio is hosted by Roy Turner with introductions by me, Dana French. Thanks for listening, and we hope you'll join us next week.